All right, so I might have a little bit of feedback problem because right now I'm currently in a neurological situation. Basically, I'm in a recovery unit. I don't know. It's really hard because apparently, from what I could take from a buddy that did call 911 on this one, is I did a flare after washing out. And no, the flare was not intentional. The cool news is I get all the damn fucking sherbet I want. And I like sherbet. So, okay, this is how it all started. So, as we all know, not this February, but last February, I lacerated my liver. The December before, February before last February, I lacerated my liver. Not this February, but last February, I exploded my hip. And that's the reason why there's been a lot of pauses in between episodes. Because, I had nothing to explain about. This one is a different story. This is a different kind of pain. This is a different kind of feeling. I lost memory. And a lot of other things, too. Right now, I've lost my freedoms. Because I don't trust me on my feet yet. Because my brain is not developed again enough for me to walk by myself. I hit really hard. So, the name of this podcast is quite very true. At this point, very true. I broke my C5. And my C6. Just riding the bull. And now I got my C5 caged to my C8. And I'm sitting in a bed wondering why the fuck I even rode that day. But I do remember the smile on my face while I was doing it. So it was worth it. That was the last day I had of freedom. I'm not saying I'm never going to ride a bull again. Hell, all my friends know that I won't, stick to that and not ride a bull again. My significant other, well, that's a different story. So, here's the story. It was 4 days ago. I think it was Friday night or Thursday night. I think it was Thursday night. We were riding the bull. It was an hour in. It was at Riverfront, so it was a fast bull. I was there with Jonas. What I call Bike Jesus too. I love riding with that kid because he gets me stoked and he's got the right personality to hang out with. And Jonas, if you're hearing this, you really mean a lot to me as a rider. The biggest thing in life is to actually ride with somebody because of the fact that you can have situations like this. He called 911 and broke me out of the broken record syndrome really quick, which was good. So here comes the story. We're an hour in. I'm an old guy. Usually I last an hour. Bull was starting to empty out. So we could actually have some real fun. I could go and you know, not have to worry about people accidentally sneaking in the bowl, which they did a couple times beforehand, and I was holding my cool about it. You know, some scooter kids, they always like jump in, jump out really quick because they just want aerial. And I was having a good time, and I went in for a really, really fast run, and I did two laps around, if I do recall correctly, and I was setting up to do a really, really good drift on the wall ride, maybe a downside or over, and I think I was working on downside drifts that day, so.
I was running
Cult Fast and Loose tires, 2.4s, a lot bigger tire than I'm used to. I'm not blaming it on Cult, I'm just blaming it on tire size. When you run a 2.25 all the time, you know what you can use on the coping. This is another element of the story that basically comes into play too. So there's this one turn that I basically bury the tire in the coping of the turn. And I use the underside of the coping as a piece of the wall. And it's very dangerous. You can obviously understand why, because I'm telling you this story. I going around, and I looked down at the pool coping and noticed the tire. It looked different. It didn't look planted. It didn't look secure. Definitely did not look safe. And then as I was looking back up to basically figure out where I wanted to try and drift that bike down to, because I knew it was going to be drifting, it washed out. But God's honest truth, all I remember is looking at that pool coping and then waking up a couple hours later with 8 hands on my body at the ER, holding me down, telling me it's going to be okay. When you have one set of hands on your body, holding you down, telling you it's going to be okay, it's probably going to be okay. When you have 8 sets of hands on your body, holding you down, trying to tell you it's going to be okay, you know you're fucked. Now, when you have a neurologist and their companion in the room, when you come to a couple minutes later, because you're still having broken record syndrome, and they're plowing you with drugs to actually stop this from happening, and reduce the brain swelling that you're having because you fucking knocked your goddamn head in the next Sunday. It's quite a severe fucking experience. That's the moment where I lost all my freedoms. They were testing me on everything. If I could walk, my balance, how I could talk, how I could perceive words, how I could perceive memories, how I could perceive memories from just a second ago. I failed every single test. I finally remembered about Jonas. I call him Jonas because if you're listening, but I'm sorry if I'm getting your name wrong. I've been friends forever, and basically, like, this happens, and I just start calling you Jonas for some dumbass reason. I think it's Jonas, but I don't think it's Jonas. I might have said it correctly at the beginning of the story, but this is the one thing that I'm having trouble with right now. And it's been 5 days, technically, since the accident. I have 3 major neurological issues going on right now. Thankfully, broken record syndrome is done. Thank the God to that. Well, I call him up, and I'm like, hey, man, how the fuck did this crash happen? And I could hear it in his voice, he was really concerned. Because it was the craziest shit he probably has ever seen. It's like he washed out. And even though I told you to stay down, he got up. And you climbed out of the bowl. And you took your helmet off. And you just dropped to the ground. And then he called 911 because, because he pretty much watched his friend just fucking hit the ground and just start bleeding out everywhere. Like, I had so much blood pouring out of my face that for like 2 days after this accident, I was pulling blood corks out of my nose as deep as you could think. So I apologized to him and I told him straight up, like, dude, you saved my life. So whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Whatever bike you want. I don't do that to a lot of people. Because as a lot of people know, I build bikes that cost over $2,000 a piece. And we call that a budget bike in my house. I got bikes that cost up to $6,000. Do I need a $6,000 bike anymore? No. But, you know, it makes me feel pro still. Have a bike that's responsive and ultralight and everything, but back on track. So we're in the ER. I'm going through all the testing phase and everything, and they were like, all right, we're would you take you with the surgery right now? And I'm like, wow, what's going on, doc? He's like, you got a C-collar on. Do you know why? I'm like, no. He's like, dude, if you move your head right now, you're going to be a quadriplegic. I'm like, whoa, that's fucking serious. He's like, you need to do your surgery right now before the swelling gets even worse. I'm like, what the fuck swelling are you talking about? Like, you got swelling in your head, you got swelling in your neck, and by the way, we gotta go through the front. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I just had this conversation with somebody else online about neck injuries and how they go through the front. Because he had it. He had the scar. And now I, on this day, have the scar. But I'm like, doc, whatever happens, whatever needs that me for me, a possibility that I'm going to walk again, be able to like feed myself, be able to do everything I need by myself and have my independence back. Because I was giving a taste of what it was going to be like not having that independence. That's what it feels like having a spinal cord injury. And that's what it feels like when you go to the ER with a spinal cord injury. They rushed me in, they did my surgery, and I come out, they put me on the 8th floor of the hospital, which is the neuro part of the hospital, and I was getting barraged by neurologists and everything, and they wanted me to get ready for the place that I'm in right now. It's a recovery place. Oh, teach you how to live your life with the injury that you have. But the way that they had to do it was they had to get me off an IV. So they were feeding me Dilaudid, like, you know, like it was like just like an additive to my normal dose of whatever that water stuff is. Oh shit, see, this is word isolation and word description that I'm having a problem with. Hence, this is probably going to be my last podcast I do, too. Or if you guys, like, want to listen to Mike Tyson over here talk about stupid shit and like, you know, just fuck up words all the time and act like he's high, yeah, be my guest. But, oh, shit, what was I talking about? Anyways, So I'm in a new place out in Oak Falls, in on the 8th floor, and they were feeding me Dilaudid through my IV. And then they stopped because I had to stop the IV. So they were still giving me Dilaudid. They were giving me pill form Dilaudid. And they were giving me like two of these bitches a fucking time. And finally, like, my brain kind of OD'd on it. And you know, that's a weird thing. Kind of like there's certain drugs that your body just kind of holds on to. Dilaudid was one of them. My brain kind of OD'd. I was sleeping. And I came to. And I hit the nurse button because I was freaked out. She like comes in. She's like, "What's up? What's up? What's up?" I'm like, "Nurse, you don't understand what the fuck I just happened. What just happened, man?" She's like, "What? You're perfectly fine. All the numbers are good. Your heart rate's up a little bit, but you're perfectly fine. You're in the hospital. Calm down." I'm like, I just had a dream." She's like, "Yeah, that's what you do when you sleep." Like, no. I had an onion dream." She's like, "Oh, what's an onion dream? I've never heard that explanation before." I was like, "All right. An onion dream is basically, it's a dream within 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 a dream. Picture yourself in a situation where you don't wake up and you just keep on dreaming. But you do wake up, but you're still dreaming. And you stay a bit in each one of those dreams. It's, that's heavy shit." She didn't say it like that, but you know, she's professional. And I was like, that was the first time I cried because I knew my brain was fucked. And then the next day I talked to the neurologist and they were like, "Is it all right if we cut off the Dilaudid because that's probably what caused that?" Thank God they did, because that's what caused it. And so, that being all said and everything, you know, a couple days later, I passed all the tests to come over here. And now I'm in this new place where everybody's all happy-dappy and cool. And I'm going to get a couple snooty nurses that you know, come in, a couple snooty acts. They're understaffed in the morning, apparently. It's okay. I mean, it's to the point where basically, like, I want to not work in the hospital that I was working at, and I want to work here. These people are really cool. I mean, I really mean it. I'm explaining things to psychologists, talking to my significant other, having to explain the fact that I gotta give up something that I've been doing for so many fucking years, that is basically just like giving up breathing. It's just something I know. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire lifetime. And the one thing that basically happened that's given me hope is while I was in the ER, a package from Germany arrived. And it was my flatland pegs. So, I'm gonna do flatland. Well, at least attempt it. Probably not this year. So I still got a lot of recovery to do. Still not good on my feet. It's mainly because they got me locked down in a bed. And like, it's mainly they don't believe in me yet. It's like recovery is not like riding bike with your boys. Riding bike with your boys is like, you go to the park or you go to the spot and you guys are there to commit, to finish something, to get something done. Everybody believes that everybody can do it. They got faith in you, and they propel you to do it in ways that make you stoked to go past the failure. Here's a different story. Here, they let you quit when you want to quit. Here, they let you accept the fact that you can't do something. It's okay. There's tomorrow. I've never understood that. Guess it's kind of hard to understand. And I'm not going to finish this podcast with me being a successful part of my life and moving on. No. I'm still sitting here in a hospital bed. In a dark room with the door closed so it can be slightly quiet. And the bed alarm on because they don't want me out of my bed. You could say I'm trapped. But I'll say I'm protected. Because I'll tell you this right now. It's not that if I fell harder that day, it's that my C5 even worse than I did. I became paralyzed. It's if I fall today and snap that whole cage, I'll definitely be paralyzed and I'll definitely be dead. So I'll take the protection that they gave me with a smile on my face. Because I know that they get paid to take care of me. But I know half of the people that are here love what they do. Which means a lot to me. Everybody's got my back right now. So, I'll make another podcast after this, after I get out and I start recovering. I'm sorry about the delays. There's been a lot of crashes and a lot of serious old man issues. It's like the podcast basically, you know what the name of the podcast is. It's just the way it is. Y'all have a good day. Be careful out there. Remember, when you're wearing a full face helmet, you can have catastrophic injuries. And let me inform you, if I wasn't wearing a full face helmet this day, I would have been a smear. And my buddy wouldn't be calling 911 for somebody to help me out. He'd be calling 911 because he just watched his friend die. I love y'all.